This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Ghana counts the votes from its presidential and parliamentary election. Zimbabwe's cholera outbreak threatens life and health, and who's going to broker political change in the Southern African nation? Today on Africa Update, we'll hear from Amira Woods. She is co-director of Foreign Policy and Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies. Welcome back.
Great to be with you, Farai.
So let's start in West Africa. Voters in Ghana turned out in record numbers on Sunday to choose a new president and parliament. And the election was generally peaceful. Voters seem satisfied with the process.
What's happened in other African countries cannot happen in Ghana here. No, not at all. I don't think it's going to happen because we love each other. Very peaceful election.
Now, that is obviously great news. At the same time, some people have questioned whether having as your basic standard whether the election is peaceful. Is that too low of a standard for us to be looking at?
Well, clearly, Farai, we can't only look to elections as an indicator of democracy around the world, but elections are a critical indicator we can't ignore. Clearly, when you have 90% of the electorate going out and voting, you know, compared to something like 22% here in the United States, that says a lot about the state of people in a country that want to choose their own destiny, want to choose their political leaders freely, and then be able to hold those leaders accountable. So it's extraordinary. What's happened in Ghana, what's happened in many other countries through the continent.
Well, when you talk about 22%, you're talking about the midterm election turnout. The presidential turnout tends to be much higher here in the States. So we try.
Clearly.
We try sometimes.
But nowhere near 90%.
Nowhere near 90%. Not even close. I just wanted to point that out, though. But the president is stepping down in January after serving the maximum two terms. So tell me about the contenders, because the ballots are still being counted and the race is very much still in play.
Well, we don't yet know the result. Hopefully we'll know by Wednesday afternoon when the Election Commission makes its final ruling. But clearly there are two key forces at play, the National Patriotic Party, which is headed by Nana Akufo-Addo, and then there's also the National Democratic Congress, which is headed by John Mills. That's the opposition party. And they are seen as, well, running pretty closely right now. It could be that the National Patriotic Party, which is the ruling party, slightly right of center, is ahead in the polls. The recent results are showing that they are pulling even further ahead, and that trend could continue as the vote count continues. But I think it is extraordinary that the vote count is happening in the light of day with everyone publicly watching, cameras rolling, websites really documenting as each vote is handled and counted. It is an extraordinary process that the Ghanaians have unfolded before us this week.
Do you think other nations on the continent will look at this example and say, hey, this is how it should be done?
I think clearly transparent elections are something that the entire world needs to look at, including the United States, right? For I think it is critical to have the voice of the people heard, to have every vote counted. And I think it is when there is a sense that the will of the people is not being heard, whether it's in Florida in 2004 in the United States or Ohio or certainly Zimbabwe today.
Well, let's move on to Zimbabwe. UN aid agencies say they're facing these huge difficulties in containing a cholera epidemic. When I was there 2 years ago, there were small small outbreaks of cholera. But really now it is claimed 600 lives, affected thousands of people. Just explain a little bit about how cholera, the public health menace of cholera.
Clearly, when you have a breakdown in key systems, healthcare systems, water systems, you have, and sewage systems also, you have the possibility of epidemics like cholera breaking out regardless of where it is throughout the world. And I think you have now, in the case of Zimbabwe, a complete breakdown. It seems that every system, from the education to the healthcare, everything except security perhaps, seems to have broken down in Zimbabwe. And so what you have is, in addition to an HIV/AIDS pandemic that that is rife throughout Southern Africa, but in Zimbabwe as well, you also now have this crippling cholera pandemic, which is now really devastating lives at a steady clip. Clearly, without access to clean water, without access to clean drinking water, it is difficult for people to be able to maintain health and sanitation. And this is when pandemics like this erupt.
And this is a case of basically sewage often contaminating drinking water. So what's being done?
Well, the international community is rallying up to try to say, there has to be a way to address this crisis today. The Zimbabwean nurses and doctors came out and rallied because of the health crisis and the breakdown of the health systems. Unfortunately, their march was met with, again, the security forces coming out and intimidation and harassment has been the response. So what is needed is actually getting at the root cause of this crisis, not just dealing with the cholera, but dealing with the issues around the economic collapse and the political collapse in Zimbabwe.
Well, on the political front, people are trying to get the president, Robert Mugabe, out of office. And the latest calls come from the European Union, the U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, and Kenya's Prime Minister Raila Odinga. Here's Odinga talking about the issue.
Power sharing is dead in Zimbabwe. It will not work with a dictator who does not really believe in power sharing. And therefore, it's time for African governments to take decisive action to push Mugabe out of power. The time is now for Mugabe to exit, because the people are dying of cholera. There's no medicine in the country. People are dying of hunger.
And you have to remember that Odinga himself is in a coalition government, but with a very grim assessment of Zimbabwe, a power-sharing government. Also, Archbishop Desmond Tutu says that Mugabe should be forcibly removed and tried before the International Criminal Court in The Hague.
If they say to him, step down, and he refuses, they must go and do so militarily. The world must say, look, you have been responsible with your cohorts for gross violations, and you are going to face indictment in The Hague unless you step down.
That's some tough talk. Is it realistic?
Well, you know, Farai, you know, many, when we had the Charles Taylor in the case of Liberia, unwilling to step down, many thought it was unrealistic to continue to push for his ouster. And clearly that day did come. And I think it needs to be it needs to be held out as a realistic option in the case of Zimbabwe that, you know, no one is above the law, that there is an international legal system that protects particularly innocent civilians in time of war and crisis. And so, yeah, while I applaud Bishop Tutu's vociferous comments, I think we do have to be careful, particularly in the case of Zimbabwe, where the West, whether U.S. and the U.K. in particular, have been seen as sort of the enemy and have actually been an opportunity for Mugabe to rally his forces. I think we have to be careful when we use the terms military engagement and sort of military intervention. I think we have to really think about the impact, particularly on women and children in Zimbabwe who have already suffered enough. We would not want to make them further victims of a military excursion by the U.S. in particular. So I think what is needed now is for the calmer voices to prevail. Clearly, the African Union, the Southern African Development Community have been playing a critical role to this point. Their quiet diplomacy, quote unquote, can no longer remain quiet. We need to ramp it up and
okay.
to continue to pressure politically, diplomatically, for the change that's needed. We also need to create a space for the peace activists in
All right.
Zimbabwe to be able to function freely and participate in solving this problem today.
All right, Amira, thank you.
Thank you, Farai.
Amira Woods is co-director of Foreign Policy and Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies, and she joined us from our headquarters in Washington, D.C.